Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Coming up on today's show, we have our green room conversation discussing the Kevin Love Olympics withdrawal. So we'll talk about that, the ramification of that for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and more on today's episode. It's Evan and I on Green Room, and we had a Knicks fan ask us a Colin Sexton question at the end, which has been a lot of my experience on the very, very stupid website that is Twitter.com, as well as Green Room and other places on the internet right now. But before we get into that, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. Bang! Knocks it down! Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket, and oh my! Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill. Off to Stevens. Oh my! 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out!
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
That I appreciate. Okay, Evan, let's talk about Kevin Love in the Olympics. So, if people don't know already, what has happened is that Kevin Love, per Woj and then his agent, Jeff Schwartz of Excel Management, confirmed this, that Kevin Love is not going to go to the Olympics. The idea was, I think, going into the Olympics that, you know, he said this himself, he wants to gear up, wants to get healthy, wants to really kind of make an effort to build on some of the basketball that he felt was good at the end of the season and kind of get some actual game reps under his belt, something he has not obviously had in a long time due to the various injuries he's had and obviously the COVID pandemic halting NBA seasons and all of that. He's not going to Tokyo with the Olympic national team. He's barely played really in these exhibition games, which he hasn't looked, I think, particularly good in those. There's also the issue of that Kevin was apparently it's not fully healthy. There's some indication out that I guess he wasn't even looking all that good in practice anyway. Is one of the other kind of things out there. And now he's not going to Tokyo, says his calf isn't fully healthy, and he's going to just focus on getting healthy ahead of next season. Evan, we'll talk about his Cavs future kind of going forward here, but when you see this news, you hear about this, how do you kind of react in real time there?
I'm not really surprised because I kind of watched Kevin. People said it was mean-spirited of me to include the stats, but he just looks a step slow. It looks like the calf injury, which goes hand-in-hand with an Achilles injury, and my fear is that it's close to rupturing at this point, or it's going to be very close to it, and that's like career-altering and career-ending as well. But I'm not really surprised, but it's a little, you know, if you are Team USA, you're a little concerned because right now, because of the NBA Finals, Brian Windhorst, I think, pointed this out, they only have 6 active players on their roster.
Uh-huh.
And that's less than ideal. And just by process of elimination of some of these players being knocked out, like you and I both have gotten the impression Darius Garland might get the invite, and then they might grab like Tobias Harris or somebody else to kind of fill the
void.
Wait,
who? Tobias Harris, who's coming back from an overseas vacation, according to Locked On Sixers and Inquirer beat reporter Keith Pompey. So it's not like as if like he's like in the United States, like in like we don't really know where he's been, and there's already COVID concerns. Like this is kind of bananas on a lot of fronts here.
Man, he just took a day off in Kyoto and got bored at the temple.
By the way, we have to buy our tickets. It's noon.
I can't get in. That's the problem. Like it's so slow right now.
Even with the code?
There's like everyone's probably clicking it on at the same time, buddy. All right, I'm trying.
All right, I will try. We have a code, so we should be able to go. Or it's just 2 tickets. Just Jeff Nomina as being a loser.
Because his wife is his calendar. But
my wife. By the way, speaking of wives, Leanne was the one who broke
wife.
My wife. Number one, she was like, "Glad I'm leaving. Glad you're leaving the house." When I told her that you and I were going to this show, she was just like, "Good for you. Hope you're happy and healthy." And
let us take the motorcycle down.
Yeah, we're not. You got to drive this. She's actually could drive us, and we'll be just in the sidecar. The other thing about this is that with Kevin Love, I just sort of empathize. I feel empathetic towards him, and I know that's like somewhat not like a popular thing because people think he's being a jerk and like, oh, so I think some of that is like reasonable. The thing that I feel is just like that his career has just totally shifted in ways that like he probably couldn't have predicted. I think certainly some of it like was foreseeable considering like his past issues with injuries and that kind of stuff. Like there have always definitely been concerns here. I think it's just clearly just like a big bummer from that. This was something I think he, by all accounts, really wanted to do, was hoping this could kind of get him kind of back feeling right and getting some good basketball under his legs again. And then it's just like not going to happen. Like that is just off the table now. And Leanne was the one who like told me this, like it was like, hey, is Kevin Love's at the Olympics? Like, I don't think she follows Woj or knows who Woj is. But like,
I'll get an update, or she's an insider and you just outed your source.
Yeah, no, my wife, Keystone Middle School teacher, Leanne Manning, breaking Cavs news. But like, I look at this and it's just like, I think Kevin, like, I just empathize with the fact that like, this is just another point in his career that is now, it's just kind of another mark against like where he's going to be. And like, I'm not going to go so far as like speculating about the injury part of this and like the potential Achilles part of this. I just look at this and I'm just like, this really sucks for him. This really sucks that Kevin is not going to get a chance to go do this and that he's just not right. And like, it does just cast a very significant doubt over what he's going to be able to provide at the, in the NBA going forward.
I think he'll be able to provide something, but I think at the end of the day, I think you and I are in agreement that a buyout is inevitable at this point. Like, salary cap be damned, I think the Cavs aren't going to be able to trade him, and he doesn't want to be on the roster and doesn't want to be here. And I have a great joke, but I'm being stifled, so I can't tweet it, so I'll say it here. Rumor has it that Colin Sexton was an option for Team USA, and that's why Kevin Love decided not to play in Tokyo. But it's a shame, but I think he's going to take more of like a Blake Griffin role. He's not going to be like a starting five like Blake was in the playoffs. I just don't think that's tenable for him. But calf injuries are tricky, so are Achilles injuries. I think, honestly, if he could afford it, he'd take the entire year off like Kevin Durant did and probably rehab this, maybe have surgery and rehab everything if that's an option.
But I don't think we know that this is like a surgical injury. It's just like it could
it was a sore Achilles. It was an Achilles injury and it became a calf strain. And just based on my school background and the 2 years in med school I did, those usually go hand in hand with one another. So you got to be cautious with that,
and right? I don't know if he has a surgical thing that can just be fixed with surgery now.
I know. Rest and rehab is probably the best option, but I don't think he can afford to take like a whole year of that or an extended period of that.
Well, in theory, like the last couple of years should have been that is kind of the problem. Like his body should have been able to like recoup because of the last couple of seasons, and then it just like he got hurt again playing basketball. Like that's just I think the concern bigger than like. Yeah. That like I just don't know if we're at a point with him where like he is just like I don't like saying like I don't know if you can ever depend on a guy to be healthy again and all that stuff. I think sometimes that can be like very unfair and fluky for us to talk about stuff in that way. Like, with Kevin, I'm sort of just like I don't know if I can like just sort of assume he's ever gonna like have a functioning body again, right? Like I just don't know where we're at with that. That's a real concern to me.
Yeah, it's a real concern to me as well. It's just tough because. One, it's still weird to think that he is the last standing member of the 2016 squad and he could kind of go out like this. It's kind of a shame. And it's just
I have another funny fact about Kevin that we'll get to that I just realized looking at the spot rack stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. But it's a shame that it's going to end up like this. I just think a buyout's going to happen. Maybe we can read into the tea leaves a little bit where Kobe Altman told the media he has not talked to Dan Gilbert at his job security. Maybe he does have more job security than I've been let on, where I think a lot of us think he's on the hot seat. And I don't know. At this point, Kevin Love really isn't doing anything to raise the bar or bottom out the floor. Or, yeah, raise the bar.
Right, he's not raising the floor. He's not raising the floor or the ceiling on this team. He just sort of exists on it.
He's a very bloated contract that's more often than not injured. Like, he missed 47 games last year, played 65 total. And at the end of played 25 total, excuse me. At the end of the day, it's just like, what are we doing here? It's like people are getting all up in arms about how much money we're going to pay Colin Sexton. But at the same time, you look at Kevin Love and you're like, how much money are we paying this guy just to kind of be an SI model and hang out with an underwear or be engaged to an underwear model and just does great stuff off the court, but I think he'd just be better suited on like a vet min, or maybe if a team's willing to give him more than that, like with their MLE, I think that's more of a worthy thing to do. But at this point, I just don't really see the purpose of him being here anymore.
So it was a tough choice this week for me to pick the ultra moment of the week. But for me, in thinking about this, I want to shout out a Darius Garland play from the USA Basketball stuff we've seen from. He obviously isn't going to Tokyo. He is not going to get a chance to continue his international career. We don't really know what the future holds from him in that regard. But seeing him run a pick and roll and throw some flashy passes, specifically throw a pick and roll and set up a Draymond Green oop, was just everything you'd want to see out of Darius Garland. This is a guy that is growing in front of our eyes. The height watch is on for some folks on Twitter.com. And Darius looks amazing. And it's fun to see him, even when the U.S. national team is struggling, get to play with USA Basketball and get to go at the biggest stage. That brings me joy to watch Darius Garland do really cool stuff on a basketball court. And remember, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Mickleballs also tastes great. It's a really good low-calorie beer if you're looking for one right now. And look, joy creates success. Enjoyment is the end game. It's the whole game. Again, Darius Garland feeding Draymond Green. Weird sentence to say, but that is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week here on Locked On Cavs.
I don't either. If Kevin Love is, but let's say he's bought out, you know, Evan, do you know off the top of your head who the highest paid Cleveland Cavalier would be next season? If the roster, assuming like you don't make a trade or sign someone new, bigger contract, do you know who that player would be? Without looking.
I'm not looking. I'm thinking. Oh, wait, it's Torian Prince, because I don't know how much money he made last night. He makes $15 million next year.
Isn't that kind of wild?
It's super weird, man.
What a weird roster.
Torian Prince got paid in his extension and, like, you know, go get that bag. But, and it's also probably going to make him untradeable for Cleveland, because I don't see a lot of teams cobbling together $15 million to get a 3-D wing player, a 3-D bench wing player. But then after that, it's, now I have it pulled up, it's Larry Nance, Jetty Osmond, and then it's the young guys. But, I mean, I guess theoretically, if Jared Allen's extended, he'd be the highest paid Cavalier on the roster.
Jared Allen becomes the highest paid Cav the moment he signs his $20 million per year extension.
And then I see Matthew Dellavedova, gone but never forgotten. It's a bummer. And then it just kind of trickles down from there. Yeah, that's weird to think. But, I mean, I guess in theory, Kevin's technically still on the payroll if he's bought out. It depends on how they do. They could do a wait and stretch over the next 5 years, which I know you're not a fan of.
I am now in favor of the stretch.
So it'd be roughly 12-ish million a year over the next 5 years. I think that's a lot better than eating $31.3 million this year, $28.9 million the following year.
I mean, I think the question we don't know is that if I don't really have a good read on this from anyone I've talked to about this. I don't really know if, like, I think there's a word where Kevin's probably going to be willing to give some money back.
Yeah, that
I just the I just don't know how. I just don't think anyone really knows how much that is. The Cavs probably have a better idea than they've, like, suggested publicly or, like, have disclosed through, like, back off the record conversations or whatever. I just do not think that, like, we know how much this will be necessarily, right? Like, I don't think we know, like, you know, will he give back, like, will they meet in the middle? Will he give back, like, you know, like, 10 minutes? How much are the Cavs willing to just, like, eat to move on from this? And some of the calculus, we just don't, I think, know sort of what they think about this. Even though, like, I tweeted this literally already today. I sort of just think, like, I just do not think that you are, like, it makes sense for him or the team to just be in a partnership anymore. I really don't. I just don't think it's doing anyone any good for him.
Especially if they draft Mobley.
Yeah. And James Lowry has a question in the chat. Why not just rip the Band-Aid off? The cap space next year isn't that important. Rather for him not still be hindering us 3 to 5 years from now. I think that's, like, a fair point, but I also just think, like, you don't want to have, like, so, like, you're under the tax now, but if you, Kevin, like, when you have some money coming off, like, the Larry contract isn't that much longer, like, the Prince contract is in the last year, et cetera, you are just going to start having expansions. Hearts having extensions for people like coming up, and it's like you want to give yourself as much under the tax flexibility as you possibly can have. You just do.
Yep.
You really just need to create like as much room under your tax as possible, because like there's no reason for this team to be a tax team. You don't like there's reason for that from a practical basketball standpoint, but you also don't want to like potentially get in a situation where you're paying like a repeater tax for like a really crappy team. Like that is just really dumb roster management. So like there are cap people who are much smarter about this than me, and I'm sure like they've done the numbers. I'm sure some of them have already done the numbers crunch before. I'm sure what they've done is like say like, hey, like we are going to, if we could do this option, like we'll just get it out of the way, but like we'll have to be really frugal. And then if you do the other way, like you could, you know, maybe like it costs, we're paying him in 5 years, but you know, we also like, well, his money is not going to keep us from getting close to tax. Like we're sort, it's sort of like playing the middle ground of this in some ways, right? Like I think that's where the calculus goes with that. And again, I really don't think we know like what Kevin would want to
give back
or what the, how much the Cavs are going to would want to get back. Like, I think that's like a very open thing that we just don't know. I don't know if, I don't really tend to think that they've gotten that far in like a negotiation about this. I'm sure both sides have ideas in mind. Like these are, that's not never how this works, that this is just like a spur of the moment kind of thing. But I do just tend to think that like, yeah, I just don't know how you kind of, it doesn't make sense for the Cavs to like try to have him when you like have a bunch of serviceable power forwards and you have Larry to start, and you're going to probably end up drafting Mobley. Like we both are very sure that's headed that way. Well, but like at the same,
Let me just pull up, make sure I get his name correct, because I'm always bad at this.
Talking about the Zach Harper thing.
Yeah, Zach Harper said that the Cavs locked into Evan Mobley at three.
Yeah,
but I mean, that, I guess I'm intrigued.
We've been basically saying this for a week.
We've both been saying for about a week and some change at this point. Like, I spilled a little bit of tea, but JB Bickerstaff is just like really intrigued, and JB's a defensive first coach. And like we talked about last night for WKYC, if the Cavs could swing for a trade for Deontay Murray, and you had Murray, Okoro, Mobley, and Allen on that roster next year, JB Bickerstaff could be cooking with grease, or we find out maybe he isn't the defensive tactician we all thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly presents, like, some creativity. And we'll find out how creative he is as an offensive coach, I think, at the same time as
well.
Well, that's certainly part of it.
Something that is frustrating the heck out of me is Lindsey Gottlieb left. Yes, she is paramount to the development of these young players. We'll jump back to Kevin Love in a second. But the Cavs are not prioritized. Like, that should be a high priority for this team, is to find an assistant that can help run this offense. Because the Cavs' offense was ugly last year. It was vanilla in their concept, but like when things fell apart and everybody was injured, it got grim fast. Like, you need a way to maximize the potential of this roster offensively. I think defensively the pieces are in place, but I don't know. That's just where I'm getting a little frustrated, because I'm like, Kenny Atkinson is going to the Warriors, and I know Lloyd Pierce is an option, but I think him going to Indiana really threw a wrench in things too. Like, I know Lloyd Pierce isn't really a defensive tactician, but he's also
been an offensive tactician.
Yeah, but he's more of a defensive coach. But he was really big on the development of Joel Embiid. And I'm like, yeah, I like that at the Cavs take Mobley. Like, I think that's really helpful. So,
yeah. Well, then, and to the Cavs' credit, is it Outlaw or Antonio Lang was very big in Gobert's development in Utah. So, like, they already have someone in house that, like, has that background. So, like, I think it's just, like, I want, like, offensive coordinators in the NBA, like, don't exactly, like, exist in the way that, like, you would hire, like, you know, like Freddie Kitchens. Yeah, like, you know, maybe like Freddie Kitchens is calling the plays, but like Alex Van Pelt is like also on staff and like making money or whatever, right? Like, that is, like, there's no real equivalent of that in basketball.
You could just say Kevin Stefanski was hired to run the offense, but they have
no, but he's the head coach. They also still have an offensive coordinator who is still like has responsibility, is my point.
Yeah, but you said Freddie Kitchens, though.
Oh, like, dude, okay, look, I forgot Freddie Kitchens. I went down to Freddie Kitchens rabbit hole the other day, and my brain just got a lot.
Yeah, I hope he's, Freddie was a nice guy. I met him at Costco and Avon once.
Sounds right.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice enough guy, like real friendly. Like, people were swarming him and stuff, and then just kind of waved to him, and he seemed like real patient and friendly with everyone. I don't know. I just think he was put in a very bad situation with the Browns. But jumping back,
so but like that doesn't exist. And I do think you just need someone to come in and like do some of that. Some of that work would be like pretty helpful to have if like you could have a coach do that. That'll be sort of the case. But I guess the Kevin thing is like, it seems like we're going to get some other dominoes to fall around the league right now. Like, there's a lot of Dame
trade stuff.
There's a lot of Dame just like stuff out there right now.
Chris Haynes dropped an article that said that Dame Lillard's going to like 5 minutes ago, that he had a one-on-one interview with Dame about the struggles for Team USA and the trade rumors. And he said, I'll
Henry
address
Abbott
those.
Had a thing in his newsletter today as well. That's the other thing that's out there.
Yeah, no. He's addressing that after Team USA practice today with the media.
Oh, boy. So here we go.
It's going to get bumpy. And plus, like, Portland's a mess.
Well, so the thing about – we got to go back to Kevin. But there was a all-weekly story from Portland today about, like, the advisor. Yeah, and then so the guy was, they framed it as, like, he was retweeting, like, pornographic images. But then, like, when I clicked, they had, like, Reddit screenshots of the thing, and he was retweeting a far-right, like, instigator and fascist that, like
–
like, I will not name. There's no free ad for fascism, only hot sauce. But – like, I was just like, what are you doing, Portland? What are you doing, Portland?
Hey, man. In the words of some NBA executives, Neil O'Shea is one of them now. They will not let cancel culture win, and they're just going to keep Chauncey Billups as their head coach.
Oh, my God. NBA accountability can often just be this, like, thing that is not actually real for, like,
it's not. It's a boys' club, so.
Yeah, most progressive league in the world, my butt.
Oh, no, it's progressive until it affects their bottom dollar, i.e. look at China. I sound like an alt-writer when I say that, but it's true.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Or ESPN. Back to Kevin
Love. We're done. Evan, yeah, talk about Kevin Love. I don't want to get into this anymore.
All right, we'll be back to our green room in a moment, but got to pay some more bills. And look, got to tell you about our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to have your local chain auto parts store stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is this, for example, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? That's just a weird question. And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts in their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so take advantage. You can save time and money with Rock Auto. You can choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more at a chain store. Why are you doing that? That's just a dumb decision. It's like not throwing the lob when you're or passing the open teammate when you're getting doubled and you're running down the court. Like, come on, just make the easy pass. Go explore their easy to use website today and find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? We know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the car parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And I wanted to tell you about BetOnline, the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and over UC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, that promo code is Locked On.
I guess, like, I would, like, if I'm him, I'm saying I think that I would, like, you have enough money where, like, I think you could, like, I don't want to, like, speak for him, so I want to tread carefully on this, but I feel like you probably have enough money where, like, you can give back some and you can, like, then go wherever you want. And, like, it doesn't seem, I don't know if that's going to be, like, the Portland thing that he said out loud a couple months ago, but I don't know if that's going to.
I'd avoid that like the plague.
Right, but I mean, like, hometown thing. But, does he go play with Brooklyn? Does he go play with the Knicks? Like, is there, like, wherever Dame ends up, like, you know, the Laker? I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I think that just makes
that's what
sense.
I was going to say, is he said he wants to play with Dame Lillard. I don't think he outright meant he has to play with Dame Lillard in Portland. In terms of giving money back, Blake Griffin gave back $13.3 million. I think Kevin could give, like, a couple shades above that. I think a buyout's pretty easy, like, maybe $16, $18 million at that point. And he walks away with $42 million.
That becomes an easier stretch. That's like a pretty minimal.
It's $8.4 million over the next 5 years.
Yeah. The funniest thing about all of this to me is just like I put it in like multiple group texts today, which shows you how sick my brain is. But the photo of Kevin Love at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouce signing his contract.
The celebrities or the workers.
Yeah, like they're on their lunch break just like trying to like, and like Kevin Love is like there to like, oh, like we got this cool new arena, blah 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 blah. And like Kevin Love is there in this like suit that is way probably worth more money than like some of them were making in like that month. You know, and it's like, okay, like that. This just is age. The optics of that have just become like incredibly. They were stupid then, and they're stupid now.
See, I'm not gonna say stupid because I don't want to burn any bridges, but it felt weird.
No, it felt out of touch. That's just the truth. It's not a. They made a mistake. That's fine. Like I would have probably done something similar in that instance. I'm not saying I'm an immune to like. That contract is gonna go. That contract is like one of the worst contracts signed in recent NBA history, if not the worst contract. And Kevin should just collect his money if he wants it. It is just an outright stupid contract with an incredibly stupid PR rollout.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just, like, if you're going to get offended by that, if you're, like, someone happening to listen to this and, like, being like, I'm sorry, you did something stupid. I'm not going to candy coat it. That's just not my vibe. I just don't care enough.
That's fair. I don't know. I go back to your argument, too. At the end of the day, Kevin Love had to know that it could have ended up like this when he signed that contract.
Yeah, he is smart enough to know that this is a possibility. Like, if you say differently, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, he knew pretty quickly it was going to go sideways. I know people are like, he should just shut up and dribble because he's being paid millions of dollars. It's trickier than that. But I also agree with, like, I think it's tough because, like, I empathize with Kevin. Like, this is a frustrating situation. You were sold on the promise that you'd be competing for the playoffs, and here you are, the bottom feeder of the league for the last 3 years. You haven't been able to stay healthy. You're watching your teammates leaving, have success elsewhere. You watched a lot. I guess Dion does count, but three of your teammates win the championship last year, and then you see a lot of your other teammates playing in the playoffs. Like, yeah, that's frustrating. But like you said, he had to have known. Like, LeBron was the engine that made everything run, and all those pieces were brought in to fit with LeBron. And all those veterans who didn't, like, make a stink to get traded had to know, too. You had to know that this was a reality. And I think I wonder if Kevin has some regret, because if he didn't sign that extension right away, which was an overreaction to LeBron leaving, I've more or less gathered that this is an emotionally motivated extension.
Evan is saying this in nicer ways than I did, but I said it was stupid. Evan's giving them at least like some cover there. But I'm just, it's an incredibly stupid. I'm just saying it's extremely funny that they were like, hey, like we're gonna have this press conference at this arena.
Oh yeah, no.
That is just funny. That is like just funny to me.
Oh, it's odd. It's. A lot of things this organization does.
A lot of
things
NBA teams do. All NBA teams do really weird stuff because they take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, but like
I'm not going to call you out. You're most like you got to just log off sometimes because people are psychos and you shouldn't argue with them. But like you're mostly right.
But like you said, Kevin had to know what he was getting himself into, and I think it's also frustrating because I think he might have had some. Signer's remorse, not buyer's remorse, when he signed that contract, because you see Kyle Korver go, you see George Hill go, you see Tristan Thompson eventually leave, you see J.R. Smith get exiled, you see Clarkson go, you see MVP Alec Burks go. Like, there's so many pieces that are leaving.
Key Knicks piece, Alec Burks.
Hey, man. I went on
good
Locked
for him.
On Knicks. Yeah, good for him. I went on Locked On Knicks, and like, listen, if Colin Sexton can play the Alec Burks, Derrick Rose role, which, you know, is such a weird thing to hear in the year of our Lord 2021, reliably healthy, that's a huge get for them. I'm like, yeah, it is. But just hearing those two names and saying Colin Sexton can supplant their role and maximize it just made me giggle. But you watch all these guys that you went to battle with, you went to war with, and like Larry Nance is still there. And I think that's why Larry and Kevin are so tight, is because like they have that. Larry's like one of the last pieces. I guess technically Larry's like one of the last finals pieces too. And Jetty.
But not explicitly not 2016.
I know 2016 is held in a different era, but like, and I don't know if Jetty's close with Kevin, but I know Larry and Kevin are close. But like, Kevin probably he's just frustrated, like I said, and like rightfully so. But at the same time, you had to know what you're getting yourself into. You cannot say you were this ignorant to the possibility that things go sideways, and you also can't account for an Achilles injury too or a calf injury, because my fear is the Cavs roll him out, he's still not 100%, and then it ruptures, or like his Achilles tears, or he has a calf injury that sidelines him permanently, and it's like career altering. It's just you know, it's a murky situation, and I was told and given the impression that the Cavs gave the green light for Kevin to go to Tokyo despite injuries.
Yeah.
Because they were hoping.
Kobe said that as much in the thing. Like, if you read the tea leaves or what he said when he talked.
Yeah. And, like, they gave the green light for it because they were hoping this was an opportunity for him to maximize his trade value one last time. Because, in theory, yeah, it makes sense. You're pairing him with, like, Dame Lillard, Kevin Durant, Brad Beal before Brad Beal gets COVID. And then, like, all these other superstar players, like, some of the best in the league, in theory... Kevin Love
these guys. Yeah, and he's like been in the program before. Like Pop knows him. Like they thought he could space out Gobert. Like some of the other centers you could have gone to, like Jared Allen and Rashawn Holmes, who are younger and whatever. Like A, don't shoot as well, and B, like have contract situations that like Kevin did in 2014 explosion when he was going to get traded.
Yeah, and then 2018 he didn't go to Rio, right?
No, Kyrie is the only one that went to Rio, I believe.
Okay, and then
because like, Kyrie's partying on a yacht.
Yeah, a bunch of white girls. But and then
you see, it's funny that like you wouldn't say the other thing, but then you're like the white girl thing with Kyrie was like a thing.
It was odd. When you texted me that, I had to stifle my laughter. But
extremely funny that like I just remember being on Twitter that day. It's one of the only times I've ever liked being on Twitter.
I'm at the beach with you after this. If you like it.
Oh god. I'm sure I won't.
Kevin? Oh, okay. But Kevin Love, it's sad, I guess. I don't know. I know a lot of people are like smoking that Kevin Love pack, like they're ready to see him go. I think these are newer fans too. I just think it's sad. He's always been the butt of the joke. Everyone went on Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, whichever annoying, not Conan late night host it is.
There was the SNL skit where like Mikey Day was like Kevin Love.
Yeah, but like no, he's like, well, time to blame Kevin Love was like the bit or something. Like he was always the fall guy, the scapegoat for everything in that LeBron era. He went through a lot of shit, still went through a lot of shit after LeBron left and things started to go sideways. It's just kind of sad this is how it probably will end, where like you don't get to have like a farewell or anything. It's like Tristan Thompson. We didn't get to say goodbye to Tristan Thompson either as a fan of this team. And that kind of sucks. Like, yeah, you can have a tribute video and Boston's back in town. But it's not the same because, like, Channing Frye had that send-off where, like, everyone gave him a standing O and stuff. Like, I think Tristan deserved that kind of cadence and farewell, and Kevin definitely deserves that kind of cadence and farewell, and he's not going to get it.
Evan, let's wrap on this. Leah, our great Fearless Order colleague, asked about Jared maybe being – does he deserve to be the highest paid player, and B, does it affect locker room dynamics? Do you have a take on that?
No, not at all. Jared Allen is the – of the core four, which I still hate that nickname because people shouldn't get too attached to any of these players, he is the one that is the safest bet to be a starter long-term in this league. Like, you could, like, Darius has a lot of potential, but he is often injured. Colin is a mystery box, and you got to figure out his fit with the team now because we're having an idea of a player he is. Isaac has a long ways to go offensively to be consistent. Jarrett doesn't really hurt the locker room dynamic. You reward your arguably best player. Like, I know people say Colin Sexton's the best young player. I think it's Jared Allen, and you reward him and you pay him like that, and then you kind of expect him to be the leader and also that bridge between some of the veterans and the young guys in the locker room. Like, I think that's not going to create a huge riff or dynamic issue.
Yeah, deserve is like a tricky thing. It's all about what the market's going to yield for you more than anything else, I would argue. Like, yeah. I don't think it's like a
I don't think full-on... the Cavs test him or let him test RFA.
But yeah, I'd be surprised if they do at this point.
I've been hearing conflicting back and forth on it. Like, the Mobley pick could make the Cavs let him test it, but the Cavs are also hesitant to let him because they don't want to lose him.
Yes.
So they give up essentially nothing for a very good young center.
Yes. money stuff comes up in the locker room, I don't know if Jarrett's the guy that's going to drive the resentment. Right, like it's no. A mix of personality and otherwise.
Jared Allen really isn't a problem in the locker room. Like, it's most of the instigators are either based, like the issues are based on either how Colin Sexton, his teammates react to him on the floor, or how his Kevin Love reacts to his teammates on the floor. Like, those are like the two instigators there. Like, Tristan Thompson tried to smooth everything over while he was here. I don't think Jared Allen's much of an issue. Like, he wants to be here by all accounts because I've more or less heard, like, he just wants to be wanted, and it was clear to him with, like, the way Kobe talked about him in, like, his intro presser, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was frustrated with Brooklyn because they brought in DeAndre Jordan after they kind of told him you're a big part of our future, and then KD and Kyrie came in and changed everything, and they wanted DeAndre Jordan, and DeAndre Jordan started. You bring Jared in, and then pretty soon after, the Cavs did everything they could to get rid of Andre Drummond. They just sent him home because, like, listen, Jared, you're our guy. We traded for you. It's good that you're in-house because we can fight for you in an extension. The Cavs made it abundantly clear that they want him, and I think that's the biggest thing for him is there's a team that wants him and doesn't kind of fuck around with him.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Kevin to kind of circle this. Chances he gets bought out. Do you have a percentage? I think it's got to be like well above 50. I don't really know if I want to go all the way 100 because there's like dynamics. Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand. I just do not think like this is. It makes sense. It just doesn't seem like the right vibe for a team that needs to turn the page in some way. I really just think the Cavs got to turn a page and like this is like the way to do it the cleanest. There should be some willingness to do it.
They got to turn the page and stare at the new blank page before them, open up the dirty window. And I think Kevin Love is like, it's like a 65-70% chance he's bought out. Unless they can, that's the thing in the Colin Sexton trade front, is if they can get a team who's willing to take on Kevin Love's contract as well, that greases the wheel of a Colin Sexton trade really fast too. Like people keep asking, you think he's going to have it in the draft? I'm like, well, if a team's willing to take on Kevin Love's contract, sure.
The Heat or
the Knicks, if they want to say, like, yeah, we'll take on Kevin Love because they have this, well, the Heat have the expirings and the pieces for it, and the Knicks have the cap space for it. If they're willing to do that and eat their contract to get Colin Sexton, I think the Cavs will say, all right, done and done. Let's do it.
The other thing that I'll just say is that I do think the Dame market, if it ends up existing in the next 24 hours.
That changes everything. If Dame Lillard's on the table, most
of the Colin Sexton. The Colin Sexton market just becomes a very, very different thing.
Virtually non-existent.
Well, it becomes like the Knicks could really want Sexton, and you could ask for 19 and 21. And
yeah, that's actually what the Cavs, like, I think the offer is top in Knicks and 21, and the Cavs have fought back saying, could we have 19 and 21 along with Toppin and Knox and I think that's fair because Kevin Knox is just kind of like the Dante Exum thrown in this trade.
Yeah, I mean, Evan, if you were to try to rehabilitate one next season, would you be more interested in seeing Kevin Knox or Dylan Windler rehabilitated?
Kevin Knox, because Dylan Windler, I don't think he'd stay healthy. If you told me like Gary Harris was an option, I'd take Gary Harris as a rehab project over both of them.
For $20 million?
Gary Harris makes way too much money.
Yeah, you want to
That's what I was going to say is Gary Harris makes way too much money.
My answer is Dylan Windler.
Really? Well,
I think Kevin Knox just doesn't do anything well, and I think Windler, like, if you can,
I think it's such a well. If you tell him to stand
in the corner,
Knox can stand in the corner and we'll throw you this ball because our black hole is gone now.
I Windler like has rebounded and like has like shown some little bit of stuff where I'm like, if you can just stay healthy, I feel like there's like a chance that you could like be okay. It's just a mental and health thing, I think, for him.
And having him stop slashing and shooting more threes would be ideal.
Well, again, this is another thing about the offense, right? I don't think the offense has helped anybody. Evan, what's the best fit for Kevin Love?
Team-wise, if he's bought out?
Yeah, he's bought out. He can go sign somewhere. If you could advise him in his camp, what's the best fit for him?
If Dame leaves Portland, definitely not there. I don't know if I'd go there just from a PR standpoint.
Neil O'Shea might be getting fired there, too.
Good. There's a few options. Like, Milwaukee would be fun as, like, a backup.
if they can't keep Bobby Portis.
Oh my god. Are you okay? There's only two answers here.
The Lakers and the Clippers could be fun, and then the Nets.
It's the Lakers or the Nets for me, and there's no other environment that I would advise him to go to, because I think he should go somewhere where he wants to be and be happy and be invested in, and those are the two places Kevin Love is going to be happy in. He loves New York City, which, like, who among us? Great city. Breaking news, New York City is pretty great, especially when you have lots of money and can, like, go to, like the new hip vegan restaurants and stuff. And then L.A. is L.A. It's one of those two cities. If Kevin Love signed with the Milwaukee Bucks to be a backup to Brook Lopez, I will, like, literally, like, yell into the void for years. Because that would be crazy.
Dude, he can finally bomb threes for Bud.
It's L.A. or New York. There's no one else. There's literally nowhere else.
Would you even consider the Clippers?
Yeah, if Ty is interested in it.
I mean, the Clippers are interested in Jetty. They could probably be interested in Kevin too. Ty is a creature of comfort sometimes. So
yeah, but like I don't know. I'm sure he has like Jetty opinions. Okay, Evan, do you want to take a? If anyone wants to come up real quick, I guess like ask Jason Meredith who wants to come up. We're gonna have him come up real quick. I guess we'll see what he has to say.
Hey guys,
Jason, what's going on, buddy?
I'm a Knicks fan, so
breaking
all the news. So, any inside info? What's the latest on when Colin?
No, I think everything is the same as what we talked about this with the Lockdown Knicks guys. Evan did, I should say. And I think the day market, as we just said, I think the day market has a big impact on the Sexton market.
Do you think the day market will, like, kind of give the Knicks, like, not kind of lower the ask? I don't know. It will probably hurt the Sexton market, you would say, think, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Teams aren't going to want to offload their assets for Colin Sexton if Damian Lillard says he wants to come to you.
So do you think that...
It's pretty cut and dry.
I don't know. I guess I don't really have a question then about that. Yeah, I guess I don't really have many questions then. I just wanted to talk about... Nixon. I love that trade. Obviously, I think all the Cavs fans probably like, of course you love that trade. But just throwing it out there. Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're going to... we're going to wrap up then. Evan, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Kevin Love, no, not going to Tokyo. Kevin Love, we'll see if he gets bought out.
We're not going to go see Phoebe Bridgers because I finally got through and the tickets sold out like 10 minutes in. And then Space Jam: A New Legacy has a 36% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, I'm going to go like start like weeping now, generally. I'm going to go put on my Punisher vinyl.
That's fair. Let's pour one out for Chris, everyone. Resale market time, baby. If you have Phoebe Bridgers tickets, give them to us.
Evan, I've been looking at, we just kind of dropped off because I had my work thing. We were looking at, like, Vegas, like, prices today for flights. I wanted to, like, vomit thinking about spending any money, and, like, the Phoebe thing would be. Oh, boy. Okay, the Dame interview's out, so everyone go read that, and check out the Mike Richmond Green Room that I'm sure hopefully he'll do later on today.
Also, Kelvin Johnson is an option for Team USA, so I think the Darius Garland dream is dead as well.
Evan, they have, like, two players right now.
I know, but they said there's significant support and momentum for Spurs forward Kelvin Johnson to be added to a 12-man Team USA roster, sources tell Adrian Wojnarowski.
I'm just saying,
The Olympic team as the select group, well-conditioned, as developed into a favorite decision-makers and staff, i.e. Greg Popovich.
Yeah, well, that doesn't replace the guard slot, so I still like the Darius, especially because you have, like, Ja and Dame, like, seemingly tweeting through, like, not getting asked, even though, like, Ja said he wasn't doing that, which lies, but whatever.
That's fair.
Trey was explicitly tweeting about it.
Well, Trey Young can't. All right, let's get out of here.
Thanks for joining us.
Later.
Yeah, bye. Thanks for tuning in. Check out Locked On Cavs, and if you're listening on the podcast feed, come hang out with us next time.